Pretty sure that was supposed to have sound to it. Well, that's okay. This past Tuesday, if some of you are on the internet, you're on social media, you know this already. This past Tuesday, social media lit up with people posting an article claiming that that night, Tuesday night, was going to be the longest, darkest night in 500 years. That's what the article claimed. According to the article, it was going to be this rare convergence of a lunar eclipse and the winter solstice, and that was going to create the longest, darkest night. This will come as a great shock because, after all, it was written on the internet. But despite all of that hype, that simply was not true. There was no lunar eclipse. And even if there had been a lunar eclipse, it wouldn't have created a dark night. It would have created a red moon, sometimes called a blood moon. It wouldn't have been completely dark. And so it was not the longest, darkest night in 500 years. But regardless of whether or not that claim was true, it is certainly true that there is a whole lot of darkness in our world these days. Just this week, I'm sure many of you saw the video of the woman in JCPenney in Kentucky and how she berated two Hispanic women. And even though that hatred that she exhibited didn't result in any kind of physical altercation, her disdain, her hatred was very obvious. And then also this week in Berlin, hatred did lead to the taking of lives when a man claiming allegiance to ISIS drove his truck through a crowded Christmas market, killing 12 and injuring 48. And if you've watched the news at all this past week, you have seen the horrific images coming out of Syria and the massacre going on there, especially in Aleppo. And it's not just in faraway places, also locally. I have friends who just this week have received really bad diagnoses from doctors. I have friends whose marriages are hanging by a thread. And I have friends who've lost loved ones. 2 days ago, a pastor friend of mine in the lower part of the state contacted me and asked if we could go visit the hospital because a guy who grew up in his church, now lives here, was in the hospital here in Greenville after a suicide attempt. And then yesterday, one of our very committed members suffered a brain aneurysm. When I visited her in the hospital last night, she told me that the doctor told her 1/3 of the people who have an aneurysm like that never make it to the hospital, and another 1/3 never make it out. So there is a whole lot of darkness all around us. The darkness can be scary. Have you ever been in a place where it was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face? It's scary. It can also be disorienting. In total darkness, you lose all sense of direction. And in no time, you can find yourself hopelessly lost in the dark. But if you can find just one point of light, it doesn't have to be that big. It could be way off in the distance, but if you can find one point of light that can help you regain your bearing, it can be a point of reference to get you back on track. So if you find yourself lost in the dark, look for the light. That brings us to our scripture passage this evening. It's our Christmas message, but it's not the typical one. The Gospel of John tells Christmas, the Christmas story, in a little different way. We won't hear anything about mangers or shepherds or wise men. We won't even hear anything about the baby Jesus, but we will hear the good news of Christmas. I'll begin reading in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me on this Christmas Eve. I'd like for you to deliver this message to a couple of people around you. The message is, light is here. Can you do that for me? Light is here. I have a friend who has a PhD in physical chemistry, and whenever I have science questions or particularly physics questions, I always give him a call. So I called him up this week and I said, okay, John, I want you to tell me everything you know about light. You just start talking and telling me about light, and I'm just going to listen and take notes. And so here's what he said. Well, light defines the universe. And I kept waiting. Finally, I said, can you say more? And he said, well, when physicists talk about how old or how large the universe is, what they're really talking about is how far light has traveled from the origin. Now, he said, you could call the origin creation, or you could call the origin the Big Bang. No matter what you call that origin, we measure how old and how large the universe is by how far light has traveled from that originating event. That originating event has created and defined the whole universe by the light that keeps traveling out. Now, he said that, and the only thing I could think to say in response was, physics makes my brain hurt. It's very profound, I know, but that's what I thought. And it did make my brain hurt a little bit, but it also, the way he talked about light and how it defines the universe, it also reminded me of the book of Genesis and the creation story. Genesis tells us that in the beginning, the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep. In the very beginning, before there was anything else, there was nothingness, and that nothingness was darkness. And into that dark nothingness, God spoke. And God's word was light. Let there be light. And that light created. That light is still creating the universe as it travels out. Of course, in the beginning is exactly how you heard the Gospel of John begin, telling us the story of Jesus. John's trying to make a connection for us. He's telling us that there is a connection between what happened all the way back at creation and what is happening in Jesus. John says it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. And then John tells us in verse 9, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. That's what this night is all about. The true light, which enlightens everyone, is coming into the world. John is saying that that same light that got all of creation started way back in the beginning, that light that originally dispelled the darkness at creation, that same light is now coming to us in a brand new way in the person of Jesus, the true light. Light. Another thing my PhD friend told me about light is that it is isotropic. And what that means is that light radiates and travels out from the center in all directions. And what he told me is that it actually completely fills every space, like a container that you pour water into. If you pour water into a container, there is no part of that container that isn't filled with that water. There's not a nook or a cranny that the water doesn't go into. He said the same thing is true for light. It completely fills the space. In fact, what he said is there is no place in the entire universe where there is not light. And when he told me that, I became a little skeptical. I said, oh, wait a minute. I've been places where I could not see my hand in front of my face. So are you to tell me that deep in the recesses of a cave, for example, are you telling me there's light there? And he said, oh, there's light there. You just can't see it. He said the human eye is only able to perceive a small part of the light spectrum, or the spectrum of electromagnetic radiation. He said there's a lot of light spectrum that is invisible to the human eye, but make no mistake, it is there. Okay, I can't dispute the science because he knows far more about these things than I do, but it did make me wonder, all right, even if that's true, if I'm floundering deep in the darkness, does it really help me to know that there's light out there? I just can't see it. I don't think it does. I mean, if one of your children wakes up in the middle of the night from a bad dream and has a hard time going back to sleep because she is afraid of the dark, is it really going to help to explain, oh, don't worry, sweetheart, there's light here, you just can't see it? I'm not sure that's going to help. Darkness is scary precisely because you can't see the light. And if anything is going to bring me comfort in the depths of the dark, it'll have to be a light I can see. I have this habit every Christmas. I like to go online and scroll through the internet looking at paintings of the Nativity. I love to see how artists render it. I love to see their creativity and how they take the familiar story and they paint a picture for us. And it's amazing how many different paintings of the Nativity are out there. Here's one of them. And a lot of paintings you see of the Nativity are sort of like this. We see all the familiar characters. Here we see livestock and we see shepherds and Mary and Joseph. And of course, we see the baby Jesus. But the thing that I noticed first about this painting is that shaft of light coming down out of the sky. Now, the origin of that light isn't really clear. It's left up to our imagination. I mean, is this the star, the origin of that light, is it the star that led the way for the wise men to make their way to Bethlehem? Or is that light coming from the glory, the radiance of God coming down on this manger where God's Son is born? It's not really clear. But what is clear is that light is coming down. This is my favorite painting of the Nativity. I think the thing I love most about this painting is that there is no light coming down out of the sky. All of the light in this painting is radiating up and out from the source, from that baby there in the manger. The source of every bit of light in this painting is that baby Jesus. And it made me think, it reminded me of what John said in this passage, that the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. That's what John said. And here on this night, we celebrate that. The true light, which enlightens everyone, is coming into the world. This baby is not the kind of light that is present but invisible. This baby is the light that we can see. But it gets better than that. Jesus is not just a light we can see, He's also a light we can touch. Jesus is God in the flesh. Verse 14 of this same passage says, "The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory. We have seen His radiance of a Father's only Son." He's a light we can touch. The miracle of Christmas is that the God who created light in the beginning is being born. And His light is going to pierce the darkness. He is Emmanuel, God born to us, God with us. And that means no matter how lost or disoriented we might feel, no matter how hurt and lonely, no matter how scared we might be in the darkness, this baby in this manger emanating this light is God's promise that we absolutely will not, God will not leave us abandoned. Science tells us and Scripture assures us that even in the darkest of night, we are surrounded by light. Earlier I mentioned that in the middle of the night, when your children are scared of the dark, it probably won't help them to tell them, "Don't worry, there's a light here, you just can't see it." I still think that's true. But as a father, I have learned what will work. When my kids were little and they got afraid of the dark, I didn't really have to do anything about the dark. If I just went into their room, if I just laid down with them, maybe took their hand, in minutes, they'd be sound asleep again. I didn't have to do anything about the dark, just the presence of their father was enough. Christmas is God, our Father, coming to us in the dark. Christmas is God's promise to be present with us. God won't leave us alone. God is not content just to remain far out there somewhere, transcendent, far distant from our suffering and our sinfulness. Christmas is proof that God is not just going to send us a message that says, "Don't worry, there's light here, you just can't see it." No, God is not just going to give us a light we can't see. He's going to give us a light we can see. He's going to give us a light we can touch. Emmanuel, God is with us, is born. And at Christmas, God came to us in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in our loneliness and despair. And from a virgin's dark womb, God spoke, "Let there be light." And that Word became flesh and lived among us. And because that is true, tonight I can bring you good news of great joy. You are never alone in the dark. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Light is here. Amen.